some Sunday morning fame. So I'm holding nothing back now, 'cause there's nothing you don't see. No more Jesus at a distance can change every part of me, every part of me. I was offered resurrection.
Well, good morning, everyone. Call you blessed today. How many are blessed? Well, newsflash, Ephesians 1:3 says you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So why don't we stand to our feet this morning and just thank God for that getting started today. Father, we are grateful and we are thankful that as we assemble together as your people and as your army, thank you for your incorruptible word. The seed of it planted into our hearts, manifested in and through our bodies, bringing healing, health, and everything that you willed for us through Christ Jesus. We thank you for revelation knowledge today and the things that will be said and shared. People will receive, and we give you the praise and give you the glory for it all in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Why don't you smile at somebody next to you and say, get ready to receive. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here today. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to John chapter 4 this morning. John chapter 4. And we're going to pick up actually where we left off last week. Amen. And as we turn there, we're going to look at verse number 47 on John 6. Here's what it says. Verily, these are the words of Jesus. Verily, verily, that just means he said this. I tell you the truth. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You know, here where it says this, it just simply means that the believer, a believing one, has something. That a believing one is a possessor. And so, in other words, what it's saying is our faith possesses what God tells us that he has provided for us. The truth is, unless our faith does possess it, then we won't have it. Amen. But he says a believer. How do we know we're believing? Because a believer understands they possess something. And he is saying here that when you believe on him, you actually possess the gift of eternal life. But the truth is, when you believe what his word says, you possess. When you really believe what the word says, you possess what his word says. That should be good news to us today. It doesn't make faith complicated. It makes it makes us understand that we possess it. Now our problem is taking what is real and differentiating between what we feel. You don't necessarily feel eternal life, but it's real. But he says you possess it by believing, by having faith in it. And so I wanted to start here today by just reminding of this. This is where we left off last time, and of course this whole series that we've been doing ever since the very first of the year is entitled God's Remedy, Redemption. And this week and next week, we'll finish up that series, and then Pastor Debbie will be back with you. And I know that will be a blessing. Not to say that this hasn't been a blessing. I believe it's been helpful for us all. So what we've been looking at is God's remedy, or what we mean by that is God's cure. For mankind, he calls it redemption. In other words, whatever man needed to produce wholeness, spirit, soul, and body was done through God's redemptive work and plan. Actually, Jesus' redemptive work on the cross is what we've been looking at, and there are possibly no better or clearer place to look at that is in Isaiah 53. Here we find in Isaiah, and you can turn there, we'll look at a few scriptures that we've always been looking at, verse 4 and 5 in just one moment. But we find God's plan of redemption in this would produce the wholeness that was lost in the garden. In other words, the wholeness of spirit, soul, and body, and why it can rightfully be called God's remedy or cure. In other words, why redemption is called God's remedy or God's cure. So let's look again in Isaiah 53 and verse 4 and 5. It says, surely, that means certainly or truly, it's this way, it's no other way. Notice God is saying that. If God said that, we need to ingrain that in our thought life and in our heart. Amen. Surely he hath borne, talking about Jesus Christ, borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Once again, what we have done is from this portion of Scripture, as well as many others, but as we look at this, we can only conclude that both forgiveness of sin and the healing of our of bodily diseases were purchased, paid for, and obtained through Christ for mankind at the same time on the cross. Both were at the same time on the cross. At Calvary, Jesus bore. He removed. He lifted off. This is what it's saying in verse 4. He hath borne. We know that's the Greek word, the Hebrew word nasa means to lift off, to carry away. It actually means he shouldered both sin, man's sin, and man's sickness and disease. That was a transference. Whatever was on man in the fall was transferred by Almighty God upon Christ. He became the sin bearer. He became the sickness and disease bearer. He's the one who took the cross. He shouldered it. Amen. And he removed it. Praise God. And so that he bore them, took them away in his body so that you and I could be free from both. Aren't you glad? Amen. We need to call ourselves free. Wake up in the morning, you feel something, you say, no, I'm free. I resist that in the name of Jesus. Praise God. This is why redemption means freedom through the payment of a price. And that price was paid in full by Christ giving his life for us at Calvary. The cross was God's ultimate remedy or cure for sin, but also for the sufferings of humanity caused by sickness and disease. The price for our healing and wholeness, just like salvation and forgiveness of sins, is already paid for. It is an accomplished, finished fact and a done deal in the mind of God. Now, what we need to do is make sure that to us, we think about it the same way God thinks about it. Now, we want to turn today to Matthew 8 again in verse 17. And we know that Matthew 8 here, 17, is a commentary for Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. I want to read this from the Amplified Translation because it says it so well. Well, it says, and thus he fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. In other words, what we just read about in Isaiah 53, he quotes again, paraphrasing it and saying, he himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and our infirmities, and he bore away our diseases. Notice it says that, and thus he fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So when Jesus came upon this earth, he, in his redemptive work, in his ministry life, amen, and how he ministered to people, but ultimately when he went to the cross, it fulfilled what was written here in Isaiah. I love what one translation says. It says, I'm going to quote verse 16 and 17 here. I'll just quote it from another translation. It says, when evening was come, they brought unto him, Jesus, many that was possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that was sick. Now listen, that it may be fulfilled as accomplished, finished fact, saying himself took away our sicknesses and himself removed our diseases. Notice the part, an accomplished, finished fact. In other words, as far as God's concerned, it's done. What's left is what we will believe about it and whether we will receive and take to ourselves what God has freely given. And this is why this you know, healing son is so important because it not only tells us about redemption's facts or truths, but it actually tells us how to appropriate them or take them to ourselves. Now, what God expects from us is this: His word now to become, and we looked at this many times, His word becoming our evidence, our proof, our receipt, and our title deed for our healing. And when it is that to us, that's when it's called faith. It's not until we say what God said. In other words, when we understand that God's word is our healing evidence, is our healing proof, is our healing's receipt and our title deed, when we call it that, God says that's what faith is. It's called faith. And for faith is really, in its simplest form, just taking God at His word. And the truth is, we can all do that. You did that for salvation. You do that for forgiveness of sins. We can and we will do that for the healing of our bodies. And now, because of Christ's finished work, we can lay claim to divine healing, and we must do so by the one way that God told us to do so, and that is by faith. So here is something that we must understand. Whatever God's grace has provided or given, which includes salvation and healing, it must be received or possessed by our faith. You know that. But I keep saying it because it bears repeating. But I say it because it's truth, and I say it because every time, not only do we need to be reminded of it, but every time we probably have viewers or people here that possibly have never heard that before. This is a very important truth and repeatedly evidenced in the Word of God, and I'm going to give you three examples of that in the Gospels themselves in relation to Jesus and the words that the Master spoke concerning faith and healing. So we want to begin by looking today in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20 through 22. We're going to give you three examples. They're close together, so let's follow this. In Matthew 9, verse 20 through 22, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind and touched the hem of His garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch His garment, I shall be made whole. And Jesus turned him about, and when He saw her, said, Daughter, be of good cheer, be of good comfort. Your faith," notice He said, everybody say, thy faith or her faith, Jesus said, "have made you whole." And that woman was made whole from that very hour. Notice it was her faith that made her whole. Okay, let's look at the next example, and we'll look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. Matthew 8, 13, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go your way, as you have believed, so be it done unto thee. As you have believed, so be it done unto thee." So if we believe wrong, that's what's going to happen. In other words, if we believe it can't happen, it won't happen for us. That doesn't mean it's not God's word. That's not God's will. It just means the inevitable law of faith is, as you have believed, so it be done unto thee. And His servant was healed in that self-same hour. Let's look at back in Matthew 9, verses 27 through 29 now. Excuse me. Verse 27, it says, "When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying, saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He had come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe you that I'm able to do this?" Excuse me. "And they said unto Him, Yea, Lord. Then touched He their eyes, and saying, According to your faith be it done unto thee." Notice, once again, the inevitable law of faith: according to your faith be it done unto you. Excuse me one second. So, here's something very important that we need to understand. Neither here nor nowhere else in the Scripture Jesus ever telling anyone according, he never said this, according to my faith be it done unto you. He never said that, not once. He never said according to my faith or his faith, amen, be made whole. But he did repeatedly say to the individual's faith that it was their faith that determined, was the determining factor in their healing. In each case, the healing power was loosed, activated, and determined by the individual's faith. That's good news for us, because even though that Jesus is not here, faith still activates the healing power. So what we have to understand, it was the touch of faith. Not just touching Jesus, but it was the touch of faith or believing what he said according to your faith. Faith activates the power of God. Hallelujah. And so we can clearly see here that it was faith was that determining factor. Our investigation into the Word reveals that what God's grace has freely given in redemption, it must be our faith that takes hold of it or possess it, or we will do without. It isn't that God hasn't given. It isn't that God is withholding. It is that we must connect with that power, and our faith connects us to that power. You know, today, if we just hit one button, all the lights go out. If we call Dominion Power or Dominion Energy and say, hey, would you cut the power on in that building? They would look at something and say, oh, you got an outage? Well, I don't know. The light ain't on, and the lights ain't on in the sanctuary. And they will look at something and say, well, it's not on our end. It's on your end. Because our thing shows there's power coming to your building. Well, the truth is there's power in this building. But that button that turns on the lights here doesn't mean that the power isn't here. It just means we haven't made the connection for that power to flow. And so our faith is like that switch that touches that budding, or touch that switch to cause the power to flow. The power is present everywhere. You know, the reason we know the power of God is present everywhere is because the Holy Spirit is present everywhere. And the Holy Spirit is the power. The Holy Spirit is the power. See, it's wonderful that we can come to a place like this and hear the Word of God and release that faith. But what happens if you're in a place that by yourself and something happens? You just need to always remember, God's power is present everywhere. Faith gives action to that power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's good to know that, isn't it? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In her book, in Lillian B. Yeoman's book, entitled, Glory to God, let's see, The Great Physician. The reason I'm saying that, because there's in this book right here, I have is four different books that she wrote. In her book, The Great Physician, she accurately assesses, and writes, God has made man's cooperation necessary in the plan of redemption for him to benefit from it. Then she quotes Mark 9:24. No, that's not what, I don't need that up. That's not right. Put Mark 9:24 up. Praise God. Jesus said unto him, so I'm going to say, leave that up, and I'm going to tell you what she accurately assesses and writes. She says, God has made man's cooperation necessary in the plan of redemption for him to benefit from it. Mark 9:24, she quotes, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, before I move on, I feel impressed to tell this story. Brother Hagin tells a story where, and then don't forget what I'm talking about Lillian B. Yeoman. I want to read her testimony and what she says and her story. But I'm going to give you two testimonies. Brother Hagin said that there was a woman who brought her infant to a meeting. And he was ministering. If you know about Brother Hagin, God anointed him with healing power, especially primarily the gift of healings. And he would minister to the sick with that gift. You know, God's highest and best way to receive from him is simply through your faith. Do you know that? This is why this is primarily the way that I minister. I teach in a way where which the ball is, in other words, God is given the ball in your court. You just have to take it and run with it. Okay? I teach you, because that's the highest and best. I teach you how to receive from God. That's my primary way. Now, I can lay hands and I can minister. And you know, Pastor Debbie has that healing anointing, and she ministers very similar. And all, the point is, God has made it a number of ways to receive healing. And thank God he has, because without that, some people will never receive. He's made it in a number of ways that we can receive healing, because he doesn't want us to do without. Okay? And one of those mediums are the gifts of healings. You've seen Pastor Debbie minister that way. Brother Hagin ministered that way in a really a powerful healing anointing. And he gave this story. And I think it bears repeating, because as I give these two testimonies, it helps us connect and tear down misconceptions, destroy misconceptions, but help us to connect with God and the healing that he has for us. So he talked about this woman who came with her infant. And he says, I'll be honest with you, when I looked at the infant, when I was about to lay hands on it, I could tell something was not right about that infant. But I did not know what it was. And he said, I laid hands on that infant, and he says, the healing power that was in my hand did not go in that child. And he said, I did not have the thought. He says, I'm praying down the line. He said, I know when the healing power leaves my hand and goes in that body. And he says, many times, I know. I do know. I don't have time to stop and tell the person you're trying to receive with your head. He says, if people try to receive with their head, that healing power goes in and comes right back into my hand. He says, because they're trying to receive some other way than with their spirit. I hope that makes sense to you. See, you receive God spiritually. You receive spiritually. That's the hand of faith. Your spirit is the hand that takes what God's grace has freely given. The hand of faith, but that's a spiritual hand. It's different than this hand. It's a spiritual hand. It just means you just reach out with your heart and receive. And he says, I can tell whether people are receiving with their head or trying to receive with their head, because you can't, or receiving with their heart. Faith accepts and yet allows that power to go in. Now, he said when that power flowed, a lot of times I would just, you know, sometimes I would say, there it is, you got it, and just go. But, you know, the point is, you hear Pastor Debbie say, the healing power alone won't heal you. You have to mix faith with it. Yep. And you have to keep the faith, the switch of faith turned on. Now, next week, in the last week, I'm going to talk about what to do after you've received your healing. After that power has gone in, you believe you received it, what do you do then? Okay, so let's go back to the story. Brother Hagin said that when he laid his hand on that child, he knew that that power left his hand, but it came back into his hand, and he didn't know why, and it broke his heart. He said, I didn't have the heart to tell that mama that it's something I can't help your child. He said, it bothered me so bad that when I left that meeting that night, I cried all the way to my hotel room. And he said, it bothered me so bad, I got on my knees, and I prayed to God, and I asked God, what was up with that? And he said, the Spirit of God, after time of prayer, said this. He says, you have the gift of healings, and your gift won't work for that child. Now listen to what I'm getting ready to say, because it'll help us. He says, that child doesn't need healing. That child needs a miracle. There's something missing in that child's brain from birth, and it needs a miracle. Healing will not fix that child. That child needs a divine intervention. It needs something created that's missing. Okay? And he says, that gift that you have is genuine, but that won't work on that child. Now see, it helps us to understand these things. But here's the great part. So does that mean that woman is without and there's no help for her? No. Does it mean that that woman has to wait for somebody with the work of the miracles and moving with the Spirit? That's what would he assume to think that it would mean. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said this, your gift won't work. But he says, listen, my word will always work. He says, if you can get that moment to believe, Mark 9:23, which says, all things are possible to him. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. He said, that will work for that child. Isn't that amazing? That will work. Faith in God, individual faith in God, no matter what it is, will work. And he says, if you could, you tell that mama what I said, that if she can believe, all things are possible. She can believe what I say, what my word says about her child healing, all things are possible to him that believe. Isn't that good news? That's powerful, and that's really good news. Praise God. Now, Lillian B. Oman, in the slide they'll put up now, thank you guys so much. Here's what she goes on and says this, that God has made man's faith a determining factor in the execution of his divine purposes. Amen. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that healing, like salvation, is part of God's divine purposes, and that like salvation, healing must be received by faith. I'll read it again. God has made man's faith a determining factor in the execution of his divine purposes. Now, I want to read part of her testimony, because her testimony, she was a medical doctor back in the, I believe in the 1930s is when this actually occurred. She was a medical doctor who, I'm just going to read parts of this testimony, and so that we can understand from her testimony how she came up with this very scripturally based what we just read. And so, in other words, our faith is the determining factor of us connecting to what already God has provided in redemption. And so her story goes something like this. She was a medical doctor. She says, needless to say that nothing was further from my thought than becoming a drug addict. But I was engaged in various strenuous work, practicing medicine and surgery. And in times of excessive strain from anxiety or overwork, I occasionally resorted to morphine, singly or in combination with other drugs, to steady my nerves and enable me to sleep. Now, just a thought here. You know what? This just shows that you can overwork, and you can, and you do need, your body does need rest. Amen. You got to take care of yourself. Knowing as I did the awful power of habit-inducing drug to enslave and to destroy its victims, with practical demonstrations of it before my eyes every day among the most brilliant members of the medical profession. So in other words, she saw the results of drugs and the overuse of them, or the wrong use of them, every day. In the medical profession, as a medical doctor, as a surgeon, and as prescribing medicine, she saw that. And she says, I thought I was toying with the drug, but one day I made the startling discovery that the drug, or rather the demon power in back of the drug, was playing with me. The bloodthirsty tiger that had devoured so many victims had me in his grasp. And of anguish of soul that day, I had to acknowledge myself that morphine was the master and I the slave. She goes on and says, I have this fault to find with many testimonies to healing, that the individual in telling of his healing fails to make it clear that he, the witness, the person that experienced this, really suffered from the disease of which he professes to have been cured. It may be quite evident that he believes that he has so suffered, but that it's worlds away from the point at issue. Testimonies of this character are quite valueless from the scientific standpoint. And to avoid falling into this error, I desire to leave no shadow of a doubt on the mind of anyone that I was the veritable victim of morphine mania. In other words, addicted to morphine. She says, I took regularly about 50 times the amount of a normal dose of a human man every day. 50 times the amount. And she says, and I mixed it with chloral hydrate. I regularly took about 24 times of that which was prescribed by the doctor. Now, in her book, she talked about the reasons for this and the dangers of it. And she said, so to ask me whether I had taken the drug on any particular day was needless as to inquire whether I had it. As to whether I had inhaled atmospheric air. One seemed as necessary to my existence as the other. As one nurse, and then it goes on, and I'm condensing this. She was committed to numbers of asylums to receive help and to get free. In this testimony, she says no less than 57 times that she... that she worked to be free from this addiction that she had. But she says, as one nurse rightfully said of her or accurately described her, she says, I was a perfect wreck mentally and physically. And here's what the nurse said, you're like a skeleton with the devil inside. And she said, I think her description, if not very flattering, was accurate completely. She says, do you ask, did I pray? Now, she talks about here that in this addiction, she actually turned away from God. She sought Christian Science. She sought every method of healing she could, all without resolve. And then she turned back to God. She turned back to God, and she says, do you ask, did you not pray? She said, yes. I came to the place where I did nothing else. I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. Night after night, I walked up and down at long drawing rooms, calling on God, and sometimes almost literally tearing the hair out of my head. And you say, and you weren't healed after that? Now listen to what she said. No. I wasn't healed because I didn't believe the simple statement of the Word of God. See, she accurately accessed that. She says, no, I wasn't healed. Just because we cry out and beg to God, that's not faith. And that's what she's saying. No, I wasn't healed because I didn't believe the simple statement of the Word of God. Rather, my healing could not be manifested because of my unbelief. I shut the door and prevented the power of God from operating unhindered in my body. And she said, and why did you not have faith? Simply because I did not have light enough to take it. It is a gift. It must be appropriated. And moreover, God's method of bestowing it is through His Word. Faith comes, note that it cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. You know that. There is no such trouble about it when God can get us to meet His conditions of repentance and faith. And when God says faith, He means faith. And it is well for us to know that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. She goes on to say, hallelujah, it suffices to say, I found a great number of healing passages in the Bible. And when God's words were found, I ate them. Now there's a scripture in Jeremiah 15:16 that says, the Word of God, I found God's Word, I ate them, and so on and so forth. So you can write that down. When God's Word were found, I ate them, and they did their work. They never fail. I knew I was healed, and that I couldn't be healed because God was faithful, and I almost lost interest in my symptoms. I was so certain of the truth. See, we got to be so consumed with the Word of God, we're not checking all the time about the symptoms. We're not consulting with the problem, we're consulting with the Word. Too many people, when we get a diagnosis, we find we spend hours of research about what that condition is instead of hours of what God's healing word says. And we become enamored by what the symptoms are, and we revert back to them when she said that what she did was that she lost all interest of it because she was totally consumed by the Word of God. And then she says, but I found something else was gone. The specific, when she found out that when she didn't, when she did look to the symptoms, but looked and consumed by the truth, she noticed something else was gone. The specific, irresistible, indescribable craving produced by the demon power was gone. I absolutely, she said, had no more room for drugs because of the Word of God. This healing, she said, was no happy accident. No special miracle on my behalf, but the working out in me of God's will for all of us. Perfect soundness by faith in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Woo, what a testimony. So here today, we once again must understand our mindset must therefore be, we're not waiting on God to heal us or to decide to heal us. Now I'm going to stop right there and say it again. We're not waiting on God to heal us or decide to heal us. He is not in heaven picking and choosing who he's going to heal. We are not waiting on God's decision. His decision was made on the cross. And now he's waiting for us to know what he's already done and then receive it by faith, just as we did our salvation. Amen. Glory to God. This means that although healing has been purchased, provided, and given, if it's not received, it will do us no good. It has to be received. I said it has to be received. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. What we want to do is read this, and we're going to begin with the Amplified Translation. And it says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things that we do not see, the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That last phrase there is a mouthful. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to our senses. I dare say that in most people, including myself, your five senses is your greatest enemy to standing between you and what God has for you. Because your body is speaking to you all the time. Come on. And it's not always speaking kindly. And the devil wants you to look at this. Well, what is that pain? What is this? Or oh, well, you know, you believed 3 weeks ago about that, but why is that pain still there? All those things. See, the reason I read her testimony is because she, for years, has been in drug addiction and bondage as a medical doctor. Addicted. Day after day. Withered away as a skeleton with a demon inside. But it wasn't until she turned to God in repentance and faith and consumed herself in the Word of God and in the promises of God that she looked away from the symptoms and she looked to the Word that produced faith in her heart that she realized that I'm not giving attention to this anymore. I'm giving attention to this. And her faith made her whole. And her faith, next thing she knows, not only did the symptoms leave, but that power to want that thing was gone. But it was gone because of her faith in the Word of God. And she stopped looking at the problem. She stopped petting the problem, was saying, I cannot change. She said, as I quoted before, she says, God has made man's faith a determining factor in the execution of his divine purposes. So true. So notice here, that once again, thank y'all, you guys, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, for faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to our senses. Now, as we read it from the King James Version, it says this. Now, faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, faith evidence is always in the Word of God. When the Word of God becomes more proof to you than what you can actually see or feel, then you know you're in faith. That's what God is saying. We may not like it that way, but that's the way it works. And that's why many people do without, because you have to make the connection God's way, not our way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Notice the evidence of things not seen, or you can say like this, not revealed to your five senses. Listen, your five senses are perfect and right until they contradict the Word of God. You need these eyes to look out when you go turn right or left today to make sure nothing else is coming. Isn't that right? When you go home today and you cook something, if you do, on the stove, you need to be reminded that the heat coming from the stove means that you don't need to touch it because you may get burned. Five senses are good. God gave them to us to connect to this world with. But notice, your five senses, you can't know God by your five senses. Your five senses were given to you to connect to you in this natural realm. It has its place. But the moment your five senses try to supersede what God's Word is telling you, then you have to realize your five senses are keeping you from what God's Word says you should have or could have, because your five senses can't receive what God has. It's foolishness to them. Your five senses say, how can I be healed if there's pain in my body? But faith says, I can and I am because God said so. That's how. And until that becomes a reality, then our pain will stay and remain, and we haven't received the way that God says we have. Faith evidence is always the Word of God and not our feelings. I'm going to say that again. Faith's evidence is always the Word of God and not our feelings. Faith means that you believe God's Word is the evidence, the proof of your healing, and not your feelings, circumstances, or some other report that you've gotten. Let me tell you something. Some of the most damaging words, and I don't blame this. Listen, I love doctors. I mean, when I say I love doctors, it's not a matter with doctors. It's not a matter with doctors. Thank God for good doctors, because of good doctors, a lot of Christians are still alive. That's just the truth. A lot of people are still alive. So wonderful. They're trying to produce healing just in a different way. And it's and they're trying to get you well in a different way. The good ones are. Amen. And so thank God for them. I'm not against them. Praise the Lord. So, but what we have to understand is this. When you hear the words of a report that says, and they're just reporting, but you decide. I say they're reporting. And they're not doing something wrong by saying, you know what, the report shows you got a tumor. The report shows that you got cancer. But what happens is that those words paint pictures. And those words need to be evaluated. But until we evaluate them in light of God's Word and see them not as big as what God's Word says, they're going to dominate our life. And it's going to be impossible for our faith to receive healing if that's bigger than God's Word to us. So what we're going to have to do is make God's Word bigger. Not that it's not already big, but it's not big in our life until we meditate on it, get it into our heart and mind, and let the Word of God be bigger than what the diagnosis. Because God wants to know whose report you're going to believe. Now, I find it very interesting, since we're talking about God's remedy or God's cure, redemption, I find it very interesting that this question that we sing, there's a song, you know, that we've sung before, whose report will you believe? And what does the next word say? We believe the report of the Lord. That's what we're supposed to believe. I find it very interesting in connecting to redemption and the very things that we're saying. Isaiah 53 asks that same question. Think about it. Isaiah 53 verse 1 says it like this. Who have believed our report? The prophet said. And whom has the Lord of the arm been revealed? Now, so in other words, what he's saying is, whose report will you believe? Let me tell you something. You know to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Those that believe the report. Those that believe the report, the arm of the Lord is revealed. That's exactly what Lily B. Yeoman was saying. And that is what God's Word said. That's what Jesus taught us, all of this. And so, are we going to believe the report of the Lord or have five senses? I'm not saying that we're to ignore symptoms and not get them checked out. I am not saying that we're to ignore them or deny that they exist or that they aren't true. But that I am saying there is a higher truth called the Word of God, and that can change the other. That's what we need to know. I'm not saying we're supposed to, we don't suppose to deny that they exist. We deny them the existence to stay in our body. We speak to them. We say, no, you don't. Jesus said, speak to the mountain, not complain about the mountain, not think about the mountain, not to talk to God about the mountain, not to tell your neighbor about the mountain, not to pray and beg about the mountain. He said, speak to it. Tell it to go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Then let's look again at, for time's sake, Hebrews 11:1 again. Here's what it says. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. I just want us to look at now faith is. Now faith is. Everybody say now faith is. You know what that means? You know what it could say? It could say faith is now. Because faith is always now, or it's not faith. Now faith is, or you could say it like this, faith is now. Or it's not faith, church. Faith for salvation or healing is always now, or it is not yet faith. That's a, I don't know how to say it any different. It is true for us all. Until we say, I have it, you ain't got it. Have it now, not one day. Saying, I will have it one day, or God will heal me sometime, or one day, is not faith. If it's not now, it's not faith. We better rejoice in knowing that, because that answers a lot of our questions. Of why we don't have, or is God withholding, or all the foolish stuff that the devil will tell you and people that don't know the Word of God will tell you. Now let's turn for example of this in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Look at this. Everybody say, faith is now. Okay, now look at this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, remember, whatever God has provided by His grace must be received by our what? By our faith. God's grace is what God gives to us. How many know that would include salvation and healing? Isn't that right? Then it must be received by our faith in order for us to possess it. Is that correct? Okay, it's not a trick question. Come on, y'all can help me now. Praise the Lord. So in other words, faith is a positive response to God's grace. With that in mind, let's look at this. We then as workers together. No, so in other words, on the cross, what was provided for us? Forgiveness, salvation, and healing at the same time. Isn't that right? Okay. Now with that in mind, look at this. You'll never read these two verses again the same. We then as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain or for no effect. You know what? You could receive the grace of God of no effect. Doesn't do you any good. God's given it. We don't do nothing with it. Here's what He says. For He saith, I've heard thee in the time accepted. There's not a time that you cry out to God that He hasn't heard you. The problem is He can't answer something that's not of faith. That's the problem. He says, and in the day of salvation, I have secured thee, or I've come to your help. And behold, now. Everybody say, now is. He's saying, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So, in other words, what He's saying is, the moment you cried out to me, for me to save you, I want you to. What He's saying is that when you hear the Word of God, and what I provided for you in salvation, He says, I'm just letting you know that now is your day of salvation. You know why? Because the moment where faith begins, where the will of God is known. The moment you know what it is, the will of God for you to have, faith is there. God expects that the moment we know what His will is, He knows now is the time for me to have that. Now is the time. Now, in other words, we tell everybody that we know. Once you tell them about salvation, they have the opportunity to receive it right then. You know it's not tomorrow, the next. They say, well, you know, I don't know. I've talked to so many people, listen, and I get to the point and they say, well, I don't know. I say, so what's holding you back from making that decision right now? And 9 times out of 10, they say this, I just don't know how. And I say, that's why I'm here. See, the reason that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God wants them saved right then is because the Scripture tells us now is the time of salvation. The moment a person hears the gospel message, nothing stands in the way except their faith of receiving Jesus Christ, that what they do with that faith. And so what you have to do, or what we have to do, is get them to connect with God. We do that through that faith. But we know it's now. Now is the time. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm worthy. I've had people say, I don't know if I'm ready. I have people on the baptism of the Holy Spirit a lot of times say, well, I don't think I'm mature enough yet. I said, there's no level of maturity. Are you saved? Yes. Are you hungry for more of God? Yes. Then you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now is. Don't wait. Faith begins where the will of God is known, and faith is now. Faith is. Now is the day of salvation. Listen. Whether this is saying, you know what it's saying? Now is the day of healing. Yes, it is. Same thing. Because the same time, if it could say now is the day of salvation, it's saying now is the day of healing, because both of them are provided for at the same time, and it means it is now that God wants the people to have it. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of healing. Faith is not waiting. It is taking. It is not. Faith is not waiting on God to heal you. It is taking or receiving the healing He has already given. He's not withholding it. You just got to receive it. Hope expects. And expectation is not wrong, but hope is not faith, church. Hope expects God to do it someday. Hope waits, but faith takes. And faith takes, it receives and says, I have it now. I have it now. I have it now. This is why I'm saying next week we're going to pick up here and talk about what do you do after you say, I've received and I have it now. What do you do? What do you do to keep it? And what I mean by that is that your faith will be challenged. Because it's been challenged through the devil and through 5 senses and by the words of people and feelings. So what do we do? Well, we're going to talk about that next week. My point is, faith possesses. We'll close with what we started on today. It'll make more sense, hopefully. In John chapter 6, verse 47, here's what it says. John 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, you pray for a person to receive Jesus Christ, the Lord of their Savior. You look right at them and said, welcome to the family. You've got the gift of eternal life. You know why? Because it says if you have the Son, you have that life. You don't question it. You tell that person. Why don't we do that with healing? Well, I am. Why don't we receive it the same way? We can. Because, and we know this, well, you know what? Listen, faith is never in the check. Faith is in the Word. What do you mean faith is in the check? The check. Well, let me check myself to see if I feel different. Faith ain't in the check. Faith is in the Word. That's where people miss it at. They check themselves. Well, I must have not got it. Pastor must not been flowing today. Pastor Debbie must not have the healing anointing. She didn't want to tell us today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No. No. You got to believe that you receive. You have. Faith is Faith possesses, and a believer is a possessor. So a lot of times a person will go to the altar room, and you know, after they receive Christ, and the altar team is just trained to encourage them about, remind them what they just received. You know, a person has maybe, as Pastor Doug would say graciously, they've just drunk through, drunk from a water hose for the last hour of the gospel. And they just received Jesus. They don't need another message. What they need is the confirmation of knowing what they just did. So the teams are trained very wonderfully, and they do a great job. Because people do have questions when they get back there, but the main thing is, if they just receive Christ, they receive the assurance of what they just did. And it because they say, we're just confirming what you just did. You just prayed to receive Jesus Christ. And so maybe they'll ask a question like this, that just per se. So, do you have Christ? They say, well, I don't know. We say, well, let's find that out. So we turn to 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, and it says, he that has the Son has eternal life, and he that has not the Son of God has not eternal life. And we just ask, did you just receive Jesus Christ? Yeah. Then here it says right here, you have eternal life. Oh, yep, I got it. See, the Word became the proof, the evidence. See, we just have to let that Word, we have to know it and let it persuade her. I see it all the time that people, once they hear the Word, they say, oh, yeah, that does mean I got it. And see, you're so confident they got it that they possess it. You say, welcome to the family. Salvation is yours. You ain't got to struggle. It's just yours. God wants healing to be the same way. He don't want it to be a struggle. Just say, I got it. It's mine. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for it. Thank you for it. Faith possesses. Faith possesses. Faith, he that believeth hath. Simple. If we believe we have, if we say and believe we have, that's faith. Until we get to that point, it's not faith yet. And it takes faith to receive from God, but it's not hard. And I'm reminding us all in here today before we pray. I'm looking at a whole group of believers. You know, Jesus called you believers, not doubters. He did. And the Great Commission is to go into all, he that believe, go into all the world and make disciples. And these signs shall follow them that believe. The word there, it just means believing ones. You're a believing one. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a believing one. Look at your other neighbor and say, hello, believer. Praise the Lord. God called you a believer, not a doubter. But see, the devil wants you to think you're a doubter. And the devil wants you to be hidden from the Word of God. But God just says this. Listen, fill yourself off on the Word of God and begin. Next week, we'll talk about what you do to build your faith. What you do once you receive to stand, to build your faith, and to stay in that place. Hallelujah. Say it with me. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. He that believes, and I'm a believer, has eternal life, has healing. And I thank you for it now. Let's stand to our feet. Let's lift our hands and thank him. Talk to him right now and say what his word says about you. Glory be to God. And if you're in it here today, and if you do or want hands laid on you for healing, then I'm most definitely here to pray for you. But I can tell you, you can stand right there today and receive. You can receive. You can receive. You can receive. God has made man's faith a determining factor in execution of his divine purposes. And as Lillian B. Yeomans said so wonderfully, she says, the moment that repentance and faith was my priority, then it was changed. And so, Father, we thank you for your wonderful promises today. I speak over the people of God, both here and that will be listening online. I speak your healing word. You have already sent your word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. We have 66 books that are filled with words that proclaim what you have provided for us. And you have given us faith. It's born from what we know of the Word of God. And we just simply receive today. We thank you that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. Say it with me. By his stripes I am healed. Say these things with me. I am a new creation. I am a child of God. And my inheritance includes healing. And because I am born again, I am a new creature in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. I boldly confess, by Jesus' stripes I am healed. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, by his stripes I am healed. I forbid sin, sickness, Satan, poverty, lack, want, fear, failure, weakness in my life, in my body. Go! You have nothing in me and no power over me. What I possess is health, wholeness, healing, and salvation. I boldly confess I have it now. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now let's give God some thanks in this place today. Just thank him in your own way. Hallelujah. Thank him, thank him, thank him. Hallelujah. We give you praise for it, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got it. You got it.